Shema Yisrael.
Welcome to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries with Aaron Budgen. Aaron discovered Jesus is his Messiah while preparing to be a rabbi. He now teaches for several organizations and is the teaching pastor for Living God Ministries. Strongly distinguishing between the Old and New Covenants, Aaron presents the scriptures from a Judaic and historical frame of reference. Join Aaron now as he reveals the reality foreshadowed and the new life we can now experience because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished for us.
I'm presenting a verse-by-verse study through Ephesians, and in the previous message, I was in Ephesians chapter 2 between verses 17 and 19. In verse 19, Paul wrote to the Ephesians that, "Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." And I was explaining in the previous message that the household of God was truly established after the new covenant went into effect. It was established because of what God did being his own Messiah. He came, he lived, he died, he provided for the forgiveness of sins, which was what was necessary in order to invoke the new covenant, that he would remember our sins no more. And he restored the Holy Spirit that was lost in Adam to those who would be willing to receive his Spirit dwelling within them. It was in this way that people were saved. They were made into new creations, made into children of God. Now, Jesus was the first to resurrect from the dead. Everyone else is resurrected from the dead, first and foremost, by the restoration, by the receiving of the Holy Spirit of God to dwell within them. At that point, we become spiritually alive. And there will be another type of resurrection in the future when we physically die and enter into the presence of God in the kingdom of heaven. But this idea of the household of God was something that began with Jesus personally. And then as people were saved through the gospel, then they were added to the household of God. And this is important to see because there is an assumption that people commonly make with regards to the Jews or the Israelites, and that is that they were of the household of God, and the Gentiles were joined in with the Jews. And this is not the case at all. The Jews also had to become members of the household of God, just as the Gentile had to become a member of the household of God, so also the Jew had to become a member of the household of God. So when you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, it says that you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. He's referring to the Jews who had surrendered to the gospel. They embraced Jesus as their Messiah. They were born again by the Spirit of God. When that happened, they were no longer strangers and foreigners. They were strangers and foreigners before they were made into children of God, citizens of the kingdom of heaven, members of the household of God. So just as the Jew had to experience that, so now also the Gentile needs to experience that. And this is what Paul is referring to here in verse 19, that the Ephesians, through their decision to embrace the gospel, they are now members of the household of God. Now, what's also very important to understand is that the house of God, the body of Christ, is the people who have embraced the gospel, who have surrendered to the new covenant, who have been born again by the Spirit of God. It is the people who are the household of God. And the house of God is the place where he dwells. He dwells within his people. This is the foundation for everything that God accomplished and what he is accomplishing now. Moving forward into verse 20, it says, "Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, in this context, the apostles could very well be referring to the disciples who were sent out by Jesus, but this could also be referring to the other people before Jesus came to conduct his ministry, the other people that we know about through the records that we have within the scriptures as people were sent out by God to proclaim who he is and what he had to say to the people. So we could look at all of those who were sent out by God as his representative, and there are many people who we could point to, who we could refer to, who are described in the scriptures before the time when Jesus came to conduct his ministry. We can also consider the disciples who were sent out by Jesus as apostles as well. But I would tend to lean a little bit more in the direction of all of those people who were sent out by God, who are described in the scriptures before Jesus, because he also includes the prophets, who are the people who were sent out by God to proclaim a prophetic message of the things that would take place in the future, those things that Jesus fulfilled at a later date. So I have a little bit of a bias when it comes to verse 20, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, with reference to the apostles and the prophets, that I will have a little bit of a bias towards the apostles or those who were sent out by God before Jesus conducted his ministry. But I'm perfectly fine with including all of the disciples as well. I certainly would not want to say that they were not apostles and that they were not used by God in order to establish the foundation of the household of God, because they definitely were participants. Now, at the end of verse 20, he says that Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone is an abstraction to say that this was the beginning, that what Jesus did established the beginning of the construction of this building, and that this building is a construction of people, in verse 21, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. People are joined together just like you would join stones together in order to build a foundation and a building on top of that. The joining together is when there are new people who are born again by the Spirit of God. They are members of the household of God, and they are looked at as a part of the building that God is constructing, which is a holy temple in the Lord. And in verse 22, Paul gets specific about the Ephesians, where he says, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, emphasizing the point that we are all a dwelling place for the Spirit of God. Therefore, we are all the temple of God. And when we are considered as a collective joined together in whatever way that we would consider ourselves to be joined together, when we are joined together, then we have a larger representation of the temple of God, a dwelling place for him, which is within the people who he has saved. Now, this is a very important thing to understand, because this is not recognized by the majority of the Christian world. Throughout the history of the church, the idea that the people are the temple of God has been something that could perhaps be considered to be a mystery at best. What people have done instead is they have promoted the idea that we are to construct specific buildings, and that those buildings, physical buildings, become a house of God. You will find that most people, when they are thinking about the house of God, or they are thinking about a dwelling place for God, they're usually thinking about an actual church, a physical building. And I can't begin to tell you the countless numbers of times I have been within one of these buildings, a church, and I have heard the leadership proclaim that that church, that that building was the house of God. And there are many ways that this is accomplished. People will speak about it directly and say, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? some will pray aggressively, asking the Holy Spirit of God to come down and dwell among them in this building. These are some of the most popular examples that I have personally encountered, that I have found where people have been trying to promote this idea that it is the building, the physical building, the church, that is the house of God. And people themselves, they think about it in that context. They think of going to church as going to the place where they are going to encounter God, where they are going to meet God. And that is not reality. That is what people want to believe, but that is not the way things really are. If you are a believer in Christ Jesus and you are a child of God who has been born again by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, then you are the house of God. You are the temple of God. You are the dwelling place of God. And so wherever you go, God is present within you. If you go into a church building, if a lot of people go and there is a collective assembly of people who are there, then of course the Holy Spirit of God is there. He is there already because the people who are children of God, who are members of the household of God, have the Holy Spirit there within them. And so when you've got somebody in there who is calling upon the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, to come down and dwell among the people there, well, then who is he talking about? Who is this Spirit? You know, that is not true. The Holy Spirit is already present. And so if anyone is going to make that kind of a request, they are officially declaring that they have no concept, no idea. They have no knowledge, no understanding about what it means to be saved and what it means to have the Spirit of God dwelling within you. And in general, these are the kinds of people who are in charge. They are proclaiming a lie. They are making a request that God is definitely not going to respond to because that is not consistent with who He is and what He has already done. And so, you know, in reality, any demonic spirit could respond to that kind of a request and pretend to be the Holy Spirit of God because the request is made in error. When the people are assembled within the building, the presence of God is there because they are there. You are the temple of God. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what that building looks like. It doesn't matter what the architectural design is, and it doesn't matter how well it is decorated. These decorated facilities are never going to be the house of God. God dwells within people. He does not dwell within buildings made by our hands. So again, in verse 20, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. And so as people are born again by the Spirit of God, there is a continual building. And as people will assemble together, join with one another, there is a joining to the extent where collectively there can be a dwelling place for God, whereas He can interact with us in a more involved way as the collective body of Christ. This does happen a lot. But what I want you to see from verse 21 is that this is something that grows, something that increases. Verse 21, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. It is a temple that continually increases in size, in magnitude, in scope. It is a temple that is in a state of continual growth. It is a temple that is in a state of continual growth as more people join together through believing the gospel and as more people continue to grow in their personal relationship with their God. That is how we have growth of the church, growth of the holy temple of God. It is through the increase in numbers, and it is through the increase in the maturity of the people who are of the household of God. And as this got started with Jesus resurrecting from the dead, and we have now had hundreds and hundreds of years go by, there have been new people who have been born into this world. They have been saved. They have become members of the household of God. These are the people who will dwell in the kingdom of heaven throughout all eternity. And so this temple, it continually grows. When people physically die, they are still a part of the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple of God. Jesus being the cornerstone, the first stone that would establish and define this temple. But it is a temple that has been building and building and building ever since the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, and it is going to continue to build and increase until the Lord decides that what is going on here on this earth will no longer continue. When he declares that what is happening here is finally over, when he brings this present world to an end, it will be at that time that the temple of God is completed. It is then that the temple of God, the household of God, will finally be completed, and there will be no growth, there will be no additional construction. That will be the end of this project that God has been involved in with regards to building his household. So I want you to see, first of all, that the household of God began with the Lord Jesus. That is when it really began. Now, I do believe that there will be people who lived before Jesus who will be in the kingdom of heaven. I do believe that. But these are people who could not have known their God in the way that we are able to know our God in the context of forgiveness and freedom from the law. There is a new covenant that we have been living in that has been in effect, that has enabled a different kind of relationship with our God that those people were not able to experience when they were physically alive. And so what we have is we have a unique time period between the resurrection of Jesus and whenever the end of this earth is. Whenever that happens, we will have this time period when people were born again by the Holy Spirit of God and made into a new creation and grew to know their God in a unique way in this time era of the new covenant. We have been able to know him in ways that no one was able to know him before. And after this time era ends, no one will ever again be able to grow to know him in the same way that we are able to know him now. So I want you to consider the time era that you are in right now, that right now this is a unique period of time within eternity when people can get to know their God in such a profound way that we are considered to be the members of his household. And that we individually and also collectively become the temple of God. This has nothing to do with a physical building, a decorated facility. It has to do with the people. Now, I don't want to say that there's anything wrong about a building or a decorated facility. I think those things can be wonderful. And if you have one of those, I would encourage you to enjoy it, but not at the expense of the truth that it is you who are the house of God. It is you who are the temple of God, not that building that many people would like to refer to as the house of God. Now, this, of course, is a unique concept within the general world of religion, because you'll find that just about every religion that has existed has had its temple, has had its holy place, and that people will tend to pursue these kinds of things. And one of the reasons why is because they do not like the idea of being the temple of God themselves. You will find that there are a lot of people who will not like the idea of God dwelling within them, of being the temple of God. This can be quite threatening because, of course, if you have the Holy Spirit of God within you, if you are the temple of God, if you are the house of God, and you are a member of the household of God in this context, well, then that's going to change a lot about how you live your life. It will do so just by default. Because if you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, well, then how are you going to interact with the world that you are a part of? You will find that you will be a little uncomfortable participating in acts of sin, in behavior that is considered to be the indulgence of the flesh. When you consider that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit, when you recognize that, when you recognize that wherever you go, He is with you, whatever you do, He is a part of, it will have a major influence on how you interact with the world that you are a part of. And there are a lot of people who find this to be uncomfortable. They would rather there be a special building, a special location where God is at, where you can go and visit Him and leave, so that you can go and do other things apart from Him. You can live your life in a way that maybe He would disapprove of, but He's over there, you know, He's over at church, at that church, at that building, at that temple, He's over there. There are a lot of people who would prefer that He be isolated, that He be locked up in that building over there. And so this confusion with regards to what really is the temple of God and what really is the household of God is going to continue because out of the desires of people's flesh, out of their sinful desires, they will want this to be promoted. They will want these kinds of things to be true, to be believed. And there will always be more people who want God to be in that building and not within them. There will always be more people who want that than what Paul is describing here at the end of Ephesians chapter 2. And so it's helpful to understand this because you need to understand that this is never going to go away. Even though we have the truth clearly explained here, the lie will always be in competition. And because most people do not want to live by the truth, there will always be greater numbers that will assert this distorted belief that these decorated facilities are the temple of God, the house of God. So what God is going to get in the end of all of this is He is going to get a certain kind of person, the kind of person who wants to have the kind of relationship that He is willing to have with us, that we will be His temple. And there will, of course, be a minority of the people who are born into this world, but the kinds of people that He will get will be the quality of people. He's interested in the quality of people, not the quantity of people. He is constructing His own building, His own temple. Again, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. This is what He is doing, and He will have what He wants. And I will continue with this in the next program.
You have been listening to the broadcast outreach of Living God Ministries. You can hear all of our programs for free through our radio archive at livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net. Do help us develop new radio programs and continue broadcasting on this and other radio stations. Send your contributions to Living God Ministries, P.O. Box 38353, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80937, or use the donation link on our website, livinggodministries.net. That is, livinggodministries.net.